Okay, Terry, Michael, buddy, good to see you guys back.
Hey, good to be here, guys. First of all, I'd just like to say this. I'd like to thank NWA, Jim Crockett, Channel 17, and Ted Turner for giving us a chance here in the NWA. Now, you know, it's like this. A lot of the promoters around the country, they blackballed the Freebirds. And the reason why is because we done wrapped too many chairs around people's heads. Now, you know, it's like this. I ain't gonna stand out here and say that we're the greatest wrestlers in the world. And I ain't gonna stand out here and say that we're the worst. But I am gonna say that we can swing a chair better than anybody in professional wrestling today.
Hey, you know what? We've been all around the country and all around the world, and a lot of people don't like us, but there's an awful lot of people that do like us, and we're back home here in Atlanta, and we're going to show everybody here in Atlanta just who the Freebirds still are.
You know something, baby? The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town, and we ain't in town to mess around. Now, you know, I hear through the grapevine that the horsemen are saying, Freebirds, this ain't MTV. Well, let me tell you something, baby. We know it ain't MTV. It's Channel 17, and this is Atlanta, Georgia. And Atlanta, Georgia is our home. You understand what I'm talking about? So Ric Flair, Lex Luger, Tully Blanchard, get everything you got together. Because when you come walking down the aisle in the Omni on the 7th of June, you're going to have to try to walk down Bad Street. And like Bam Bam said, many of them have tried, but nobody has made it to the end of the block. And it ain't going to be no different. That's right. We're hitting Freebird Fantasia going to Fort Myers tonight. But in the Omni, bring it on down and we'll find out, baby.
We're back.
The fabulous Freebirds back with us right here on the Superstation.
This is Bob Orton, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Give him that
tough
and spit on that thing.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Your shows, your entertainment, and your network. This is Rant and Rave.
Remember, what this network wants, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on Rant EM Radio. Proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Oh yeah! Episode 499 of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Episode 499. You know what that means? Do you know what that means? That means next week is episode 500. I'm terrible at math, but see, I'm good with that. And I am obsessed with this chick on the internet.
I give him that.
Ah, tough.
And spit on that thing.
Oh, there's so many good ones, but I posted on social media the other day, Cheeky Baby's original Hawk Tour. All right, so although she's cute, and I think she lost a job too, this poor kid, man. She was like a school teacher or something. Man, this is why society is all messed up, man. The priorities. So what, she likes to spit on it, you know what I'm saying? Who cares? She ain't bothering nobody. Her kids don't know, unless they have the internet. Then they do know that she likes to spit on it. But you know what? I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's episode 499. I'm riding Bad Street, USA. I'm in a Freebird kind of mood. I was watching some clips and stuff like that. You know, I miss tag team wrestling. I miss the golden era, which is why I do a podcast about nostalgia. You know, this is why I do a podcast about old school pro wrestling, because there was so many, cool personalities back then. You know, I think I should introduce myself, right? If you don't know already, I am almost 12 years now your ever-so-gracious host, the Yoda of yesteryear, the Messiah of memories, the Yarborough King, the Heavyweight Primate, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Raya. And I hope you guys all can join us next week. We're going to have a good time, as always. Throwback is SummerSlam 94, as you saw the image on the Facebook invite for the show. Tomorrow before Forbidden Door, I'm going to work on maybe some online access for people to call in and stuff like that. I don't want to like spend the whole time taking calls and shit, because they're going to have people in studio and I don't want to like take away from them and stuff like that. So I'm going to do something, maybe chat room. I don't know. Maybe we'll just do Facebook Live. I'm not sure. But I hope you guys can join us, and I'll thank everybody. I got a pretty cool announcement too about an upcoming excursion that I'm taking, and I'm very excited about that, and I'll be sharing that with you guys on next week, on the 6th. And you know, I didn't want to go crazy. I just didn't want to do it alone. And the boys were like, yeah, everybody worked out the schedules. Everybody's going to be around to do it. And I'm like, yeah, man, let's do it. Let's have a good time. We're supposed to have Mickey in studio with us, too, but I think he's under the weather. Hopefully he can join us. If you're listening, I miss you, buddy. Hope you're feeling better. The boys told me you weren't feeling too well the other night. So hopefully Mick can make it. And we'll talk some wrestling. We're going to talk a lot of wrestling, actually. And you know what? That's what makes this so much fun, because for the last 12 years, you guys have been so much fun to talk to, with you, at you. So I played two throwbacks for the last couple episodes, and I thought, I was telling Shining Wizard Tony, I thought that my hard drive, I knew my hard drive crashed. I lost a ton of episodes. So I'm going to have to hook up with Tony and Double A and get some of my episodes. If you guys still have my episodes, maybe we can work and get like an external hard drive or something, put some shit back in so I can go through it. And I have to go through what I have, what I don't have. But sadly, I lost a ton of stuff. But I fixed everything else and I'm back up. You know, I was back up, and then that's when everybody just left. So, but I fixed the computers and everybody walked out and carried on with their life. And I'm like, great. So I should actually have about 700 episodes right now, but I only have 500, and that's okay. I feel like it was meant to be this way. I was having a film moment last week, and I was on my way home from work, and I was, you know, listening to the Chris Dickinson interview from the last episode, and I actually spoke to Chris, and I know Chris has not been wrestling for a while, but this is when he first started. He was in Beyond, and he was absolutely killing it, and then to see him, like I mentioned on social media, just to see him blossom into the wrestler that he wanted to become, and he wanted to wrestle in Japan. He got to wrestle for New Japan Pro Wrestling. He was tag team champion in Ring of Honor with one of his mentors, Homicide. So he lived his dream, man. He did his thing. I hope Chris isn't done. I told Chris we'd like to get him back on the show. Because he's still local. He's back. He wasn't local for a while. Now he is local again, I believe. And I know he's doing his music now, but I want, Chris is a solid dude, and regardless of what some folks may say, I he's kudos with us, he's good with us, and I want to have him back on the show. But anyway, my point was, I'm going through the nonsense, right? I'm going through all the fucking, I found this external hard drive that I found some stuff, and I'm like, man, and I'll thank all the co-hosts. When we do the anniversary show, I always do. But I feel like every close friend of mine in the last 25, 30 years of my life, the relationships I have with these people have been because of other people who aren't in my life anymore. And part of me is sad about it. Part of me knows, and then the other part of me knows, like, hey, it's not your fault. That person just doesn't know who their friends are. And how to appreciate the friend, because we have such a great time together, the small crew that we have now, and we just enjoy each other's company mainly because of wrestling. But we have a lot of other shit in common too. But wrestling brings people together, man. It does. Like even when you go to shows, you see people, you meet people, you talk to people. Like when you're around like-minded folks. It brings out either the best or the absolute worst of you. But I've made so many friends because of wrestling. And I'm so blessed and I'm so lucky to have what I have because of pro wrestling. I can't begin to tell you how ecstatic I am. And every time I think about it, I get very emotional because the relationships that I've made in the last decade alone from pro wrestling it changed my life. It really did. I mean, I was only doing the podcast a couple of months when I met the Wizards, and they were just about a year in, and meeting those guys and going to shows with them and doing shows with them. At one point, Tony was a regular at the Christmas shows every year. Matt did stuff with us. When I was doing stuff with the Man Cave guys, I recorded some episodes. Matt came through for my birthday one year. That was great, When Eddie left, Kevin came in. I was like, wow. I was kind of like worried because I didn't know if the vibe was there, but Kevin is just, Kevin is amazing. And then they added more folks to it, and the dynamic is different, but they're still the Wizards. And between that and meeting, and then I got my first co-host through them, and then I made friends with my first co-host, like lifelong best friends now. It's like, it's insane. And, I met Choppy through the podcast, and I reunited with Scott, who I'd known since high school. So I feel like wrestling has done so much for me, and I like talking about the old stuff, and that's why I still do it. So I'm not, I have to rearrange some things and, maybe think about a format again and maybe try to get another co-host. I don't know. I'd like to get another co-host. I just don't, I don't want to go through the whole hassle of having somebody commit and then bounce on me. And if they're not local, doing it online is a fucking nightmare because, to do show prep with somebody that lives miles and miles and miles away is just, it's nerve wracking, but either way, if I don't get another co-host, if I do it solo, then I'm going to try to do more episodes, I promise. I just don't know how many I'm going to do. But you are getting 500 next week. I promise you that. So that should be fun. The throwback this week, and I'll get into it after the commercial break, it hit me, like certain matches, certain feuds, and that era. I just became a fan a couple of months prior, maybe half a year prior, and it just now for me as a middle-aged man, you stop and now you get into this to the YouTube and the Peacock gimmick and Daily Motion, and you start looking up shit, and now you're in this vortex, and you start watching all this shit, and you're like, man. And all this stuff comes back to you. And a lot of stuff was bad, like really childhood, terrible childhood memories of living in where I lived and growing up, how I grew up. And the only thing I had was that back room, my mom's bedroom, because we lived in a six-family apartment building, and they were called railroad apartments. So you'd walk into the apartment, and there'd be a living room. To the left, there'd be a kitchen and a bathroom, and then to the right would be all the bedrooms. So I had the first bedroom. My sisters shared the second bedroom, and my parents, whoever my mom was with at the time, my mom would be in the back room. And the back room had a little black and white TV, you know. And any chance I would get when no one was in the house, it would be like the greatest time. Because I, you know, especially in the summertime when everybody would be outside and I didn't feel like being outside no more. And I knew wrestling was coming on Saturday nights. I'd go upstairs and I'd put Channel 9 on. And, you know, Saturday mornings I'd go in the living room. No one's watching TV. I'd just, all right, cool. I could watch, take a break from the cartoons. Because remember, I had two sisters. So my one sister is 3 years younger than me, 4 years younger than me. My other sister is 8 years younger than me. So it's like, I had to share the TV. I got my younger sister to get into wrestling with me for a little while. She was a baby. She loved it. My other sister didn't like really, she didn't really like wrestling. She watched it. She just didn't, you know, didn't like it the way we liked it. So you had wrestling on four times that weekend. You had sometimes 2-3 times on Saturday, once on Sunday. I didn't have cable, so I didn't get the Tuesday Night Titans. Which just turned 40 last month. So, you know, you just start, all these memories start flashing back. So my point being is, I think I'm going to do a Jimmy Ferrari. A couple of years ago, Jimmy Ferrari, if you don't listen to the Brooklyn Blast Furnace, please give Jimmy Ferrari a listen. He's a good friend of ours. I was on his show. He's going to come on my show soon, hopefully. Jimmy's a big wrestling fan. But Jimmy, a couple of years ago, just out of the blue, just started talking about his life. And he was in his kitchen. You can hear him making coffee on the podcast. He just, you know, he had lost his partner too. So Jimmy started doing it solo. Then he started a network, you know, Dark Satellite Media for a little while. But Jimmy started talking about his life. And a very interesting life he lived. And then he did like a 2 or 3 part out of it, which turned into a book that he's done. Now he's doing, I think the first draft is done. He's putting out a book. I don't know if I'm going to go that far, but I think I'm going to do a couple of episodes in the very near future towards when my milestone birthday's coming up for me. I might do an Impact Player retrospective, right? I think it's called a retrospective. Not an introspective. It's retrospective. And I might go just do, I mean, I'm pretty transparent. I've told you guys a ton of shit in the last, you know, 12 years. But I think I'm going to go in, like, depth and do tell some stories. And some of them are wrestling related. A lot of them are wrestling related. Some of them aren't. But you get an idea of what kind of fan I was. I am now because of then, you know. But it's all I had. You know, if the Mets weren't playing, I didn't have cable, so I couldn't watch any of my other teams, you know. I was a football guy loosely. I didn't have a team until I was a teenager. I just rooted for players. Basketball and hockey I caught waiting for the wrestling to come on. Channel 9 would play the Knicks and the New York Rangers, and then they would preempt wrestling for it, so I didn't know. Because the TV guy would say something else, be like, all right, cool. And you're like, well, maybe wrestling's coming on afterwards, and it wouldn't. That's how I got into hockey and basketball, was because of wrestling, you know. And I wound up playing hockey for almost 30 years, so changed my life, man. Wrestling did so much for me, like I said, you know. And then Channel 11 would have, they started doing NWA around the turn of the Crockett's, when they turned it over to Turner. They had a weekly show on Channel 11, and then they even had hockey. They had the Devils for a little while. So then I was really into hockey, so if I didn't get the Rangers, I'd watch whoever's, I didn't like the Devils, but whoever's playing the Devils, I'd get to watch other teams, like Edmonton, especially if it was a Saturday night. You get like Edmonton or Calgary or Vancouver, or if it was like a Midwest team, like a 9 o'clock game, you get like the Blackhawks, you know, or the North Stars, that Norris division, man, fucking Detroit, like all these cool 80s hockey teams. I just everything involved wrestling. Anything, waiting for wrestling to come on or waiting for wrestling you know, getting preempted. That was my life. That was how it was, and I am forever blessed. So I'm going to maybe do like a retrospective on my life, and I'm going to start maybe break it down to like a couple episodes. And I mean, Jimmy inspired me a couple of years ago. I just didn't do it right away because A, I still had partners on the show, and B, I just I lost my ability to just do this every week. I lost the fun. I lost it, you know. And I'm gonna get it back eventually. I don't know how I'm gonna, you know. And again, I'm not being a bit of Betty. I love my boys, you know. You know, if they call me tomorrow and they need me for something, I'm there. You know, I'm godfather to Choppy's son. So if they need anything, you know, I'm there. You know, I know Jay's been super busy with his life. He just had a kid. So, you know, but those are my boys. I'm sad they're not with me anymore. But I'm not mad at them. I'm just mad that they're not with me. Does that make sense? You know, if it makes sense, then you know. But when I lost my ability, I was like, you know, maybe I'll do a retrospective. And you know, I'm going to. And I got this new thing at work where not new, but like since early last year, I bring a spiral notebook with me to work, and it looks like I have OCD because or like attention deficit disorder because there's work related shit in there. While I want to revamp my DC Heroes RPG campaign, so I started writing some RPG shit, and then I put podcast ideas in there for future shows, or I would take a post-it and put it onto a page and start and then continue the next day, and then I got some Stratomatic projects I want to do for hockey and baseball, so that stuff is in there, and then my excursion ideas, I started writing those down. I got like this spiral notebook full of shit, and I'm like, maybe if I just did the retrospective and got like a three subject notebook and made it a little bigger and then started writing shit, chapter by chapter. But I don't know. There's a couple of things that I wanted to say, and you know, and I mean, I see a therapist every Friday. I've told you guys that already, but. And I work a lot of that shit out in therapy. This is not therapy for me. This is just me sharing my life with you guys. And you're going to know more of me. And now some of my tendencies, now you'd be like, oh, now I know why Phil does that. Or now I know why Phil says that. Now I know why Phil. So now I'm going to say some things. And a lot of it's not going to be fun. A lot of it's going to be hard. I may have to stop the show once in a while and take a breather and you know, even have a good cry, because I know some of the shit's going to bother me when I say it, but it's going to be real to the point where you'll know why I'm the fan I am today, and why everything came back to pro wrestling, everything in my life, no matter where I was, personally, professionally, it all has wrestling involved in it, because it was the one thing that never left me. Never died on me. Never gave up on me. Even if it disappointed me, it made up for it in twofold with another promotion or another match or another event. It was that kind of party with me. So that is the most important thing. Is that I'll be super honest and super blunt like I always am. But there's going to be some things that, you know, you're probably going to be shocked to hear that happened to me. And then you're probably like, all right, well, now I know why. And then you'll be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then maybe a lot of things won't make sense. But you know what? It's my podcast, so I'll do, you know. And if I feel like it's too much, and I'll just dead it and I'll go back to it. But yeah, I think very soon I'm going to get into that. So, all right, without further ado, let's get into some news and notes. Let me get my let me get my browser up here. Okay, I have everything down. This time I didn't have to stop the show. So as you know, I was gonna announce the G1 Climax tournament participants that's coming up in a couple of weeks. You know the drill. If you win the G1, then you get a shot at Wrestle Kingdom for the title. Every these matches are 30 minutes long. the low card matches have 20-minute time limits, 30-minute, and then the time, you know, and then the final match between the two blocks has no time limit. And let me go over the venues real quick. Starting July 20th and 21st, it's in Osaka, and then you got Hiroshima, and then Kagawa, and then in Nagasaki, and then Fukuoka, and then in Yamaguchi City, and then Osaka again, and then in Nagoya, in Dolphins Arena, then Kurikan Hall, then the Budokan, then in Sendai, and then in Nagoka? Yeah, Nagoka. Hamamatsu, it's in Hamamatsu, and then in Makuhari, and then Ryokogu. And that's going to be from July. Oh, they're doing it on my birthday in Nagoya. Oh, that's fitting, since my two favorite wrestlers come from that region when they stayed in Japan, Doc and Gordy. So July 20th through August 18th, here are your participants in Block A: Shota Umino, Tetsuya Naito, Shingo Takagi, Sanada, Great O'Khan, Zack Sabre Jr., Gabe Kidd, Jake Lee from Pro Wrestling Noah. Jake Lee is a player. Go watch some of his shit. He's the real deal. Evil. And then in Block B, you have El Phantasmo, Hiroki Goto, Yoto Tsuji, Uemura, Jeff Cobb, Hanare, David Finley, Ren Narita, and my pick to win, Takeshita. So, you know, the qualifiers were June 22nd. Then the semifinals would, let's see here. So Ishii had a bye, Yoshihashi versus Chase Owens, and then it's going to be Kenta had a bye, so Cal Newman against Takahashi. And then the B block, Tanahashi got a bye, then Yano, Oleg. These matches happened already. So TJP got in, all that. So there you go. All right. With that being said, and then, of course, speaking of New Japan, Stardom, they announced earlier today that Stardom, or yesterday, I forget, that Stardom is officially part of New Japan Pro Wrestling. It was my first Joshi show. I'm glad Stardom is under that banner. This gives girls, women, I should say, women who don't wrestle in Japan normally, more gaijin to go and hone their craft in New Japan, under the New Japan banner. Maybe in the dojo, in any of the dojos, the Japanese dojo, the LA dojo with those guys. And of course, I think Fale's got one now, and Shibata's got the one in LA, and I think Fale just started one in where he's from. So, like, there's three dojos. I mean, I'm telling you, man, like, I the women there were fantastic. The matches were great. The gimmicks, the costumes, the music, everything fit. Everything was great. Excuse me. So Forbidden Door is tomorrow night. I got invited to go, actually, before they had an open ticket, but I just, you know, by the time I get out of work tomorrow, by the time I get, you know, whatever, it's going to be a fucking nightmare. And honestly, it's going to be like a 5-hour pay-per-view. So I really don't want to go there for 5 hours and have to be at work and 8:30 in the morning, you know. But here are the pre-match matches. Chris Statlander and Watanabe versus Willow and Tam Nakano. LIJ, Tsuji, Teton, and Takahashi versus the Lucha Brothers and Mystico. Did I just read that Jericho showed up at a CMLL gimmick last night with a mask and I think jumped one of those guys? I think I just read that before I came home. Owen Hart tournament pre-show match, Mariah May, versus Soraya. All right, then we got the ladder match for the TNT championship because Copeland got hurt with that stupid fucking spot he did. Jack Perry versus Takeshita versus Mark Briscoe versus Dante Martin versus Leo Rush versus El Fantasmo. First round match for the Owen Hart Cup. Bryan Danielson versus Shingo. Oh, man. That's going to be great. Trios match, The Learning Tree. Chris Jericho, Big Bill, Brian Keith versus Samoa Joe, Hook, and Shibata. I hate that Shibata wrestles in AEW because they make him look like a jerk off, but I digress. AEW World Women's Championship, Toni Storm with her big shit locker defends against my girl Mina Shirakawa from Stardom. I would love to see Mina win. I doubt she's going to, but she's so good. So it's going to be a good match regardless because Toni Storm can still go. Orange Cassidy against ZSJ. MJF versus, was it Hechichiro? What the fuck? I can't even pronounce this guy's name. He's from fucking CMLL. The Elite, Young Bucks and Okada versus the Acclaimed and Hiroshi Tanahashi. TBS and New Japan Strong Women's Championship, winner take all. Mercedes Moné versus Stephanie Vaquer. If they give Mercedes Moné the fucking strong title, which they probably will, what a fucking waste, man. She's not good anymore, and she's injury prone. And they're doing too much. They're putting too much emphasis on her, you know. But what are you gonna do? Fucking Dixie Khan booking that nonsense. Round eye booking. IWGP Heavyweight Championship. John Moxley defends against Naito. So let's, you know, we talked about this the other night with the boys. Like, if Mox retains against Naito, can he do a full load of shows in Japan? More importantly, after the G1's already thin as is. Not much talent going on over there. They lost Okada. They lost Jay White. They lost a ton of folks. You know, what are they going to do with Mox if he retains? So we're begging Naito to take this belt back to Japan and start working the young boys, getting into some championship matches, right? And then for the AEW World Championship, Will Ospreay goes up against Swerve. I got to tell you, Swerve is so good, but Ospreay is just the best wrestler on the planet right now. If Kenny Omega wasn't fighting, it might be a 1A, 1B. If Okada wasn't involved in this team shit, he was on a singles tip, then I would say Okada was 1A, 1B, 1C. But right now, Will Ospreay is the best wrestler on the planet. But that's the match you want to watch. You know, it's going to... And the thing is with AEW, and they try so hard to put forth a great product, and they do all these dream matches constantly. The problem is sometimes the storytelling gets lost in translation. You know, and I want you guys to listen to the Chris Dickinson interview from last episode, and we get into storytelling. And I've been pissing and moaning about it then. I'm pissing and moaning about it now. And I'm not saying AEW is terrible to the point where it's unwatchable, because it really isn't. But the storyline emphasis sometimes with these dream matches gets lost in translation. Now, with Forbidden Door, it's a little difficult because these guys are from different promotions. And you know, to have this build-up sometimes, you can't do it. Scheduling and matches and... You know, these guys don't come to the States very often. You know what I'm saying? I mean, lately it's been better. But they weren't going to Japan for these gimmicks, for these storylines. So now you got to bring all the guys over here. Again, it gets lost in translation. So, but now that Ospreay is a permanent fixture in AEW, he should be the future of the company. You know, MJF should be having matches with him by year's end. You know, Danielson should be doing some kind of run before he retires. I don't know what Kenny Omega's status is, but in terms of his illness, but, you know, there's guys there that can go. I still have faith in Hangman Page. I love, though. I mean, you know, there's guys there that can still go, that you could put the world title on and run with it. There's a ton of guys. You got the veterans, too. Like, you got the Christian Cages of the world and Samoa Joes and, there's guys there that can help the young kids along and, you know, that kind of shit. But, like, when you think about it long term, if they had that proper booking. What I mean by that is start telling stories for some of these guys in a better light. Start making Ring of Honor your NXT. You have a weekly show that you're making us pay for. Some of us still pay for it. You're making us pay for that product. I want to see folks get promoted from there and then go on to Collision and Dynamite and all, and then I want them to do big things. Or bring the vets back down and have them put the young guys over. Like, there's so many things that Tony Khan can do, and he just doesn't fucking do it. And I don't understand why. I don't understand the logic of just... he's a money mark. And listen, he's not a dumb dude. For him to get the company, even though he had the finances, but it doesn't take just finances to start a company. You know, you have to have... You know, you have grassroots now. You have guys that you brought in... That is still, you got the Pentas of the world and the Pages of the world, and you got guys that have been there since the jump. You got guys that can go. You know, now they're making Jack Perry something. You know, now he's all evil and he's all angry and he grew a beard and shit, so it's like, whatever. But you have this nucleus of guys that can go. And, you know, it's like with storylines, too. I was watching some clips of SmackDown last night. And it was in my hometown. It was in Madison Square Garden. And the Bloodline is now officially split. Solo wanted to be acknowledged as the tribal chief. Heyman said no. They put Heyman to a table, which will now bring Roman Reigns back with his crew of Samoans. But Solo's got the Gorillas. He's got fucking Jacob Fatu. Like, come on, man. And then Roman's coming back. Like, and with all that on the tribute to Roman Reigns' dad that night, because you know, Siki just passed away. So you have like all this buildup now. That, I mean, obviously Siki passing away inadvertently just enhances the hatred that Roman Reigns is going to have when he gets back. It's going to be insane. The pop is going to, when he comes back, the night he comes back with Heyman, with his team, would probably be Jimmy and Jay and somebody else. It's going to be insane. It's going to be off the fucking meter. And you know why? Because they kept to the story. They kept the story. As soon as, when Roman lost the title to Cody at Mania, and Roman goes off and does it and gets the rest up, they kept the Bloodline, and they kept bringing, and they brought guys in. I'm so happy for the Gorillas. I'm really happy for Jacob Fatu, because that guy's been a player, a major player in the indies for a super long time now. This storytelling you can do now. You know, I understand the sports entertainment aspect of it, and I understand how things work now, and some of it is never going to be what I want it to be, where I want it to be, and how I want it to be, but let's be honest. You can pick and choose some really good talent and tell a really good story with these guys in a ring. The talent pool compared to when I grew up is so much better. So much better. Maybe they can't cut a promo. Okay. Maybe you can do both. Maybe you can't. But now you work on that. You have exposure. You have these weekly television shows. You have monthly pay-per-views. You even, WWE does a social media show. There's one particular show that you can only watch on social media. They do once a week. And the matches are short, and there's a title, and it's guys that it's almost like a Next Division type of deal. But you have social media. You have all these platforms and these outlets to hone your craft and to be a bigger star. To get more followers, to get more people involved, to get that edge. No pun intended. You can do it. The guys can do it. I'm telling you, man. It's not far-fetched. It's not far-fetched. I'm telling you. It's really not. And I got to be honest with you. It'll be so much better that even if you don't like the... Even if you can't emotionally invest in some of these characters, if they deserve their shine, you deserve their shine regardless. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I think it could be better, and it's not. but you know what? All I want is for these guys to be successful. I want these companies to just keep pumping out shit, and hopefully some of it's like, it's like when I'm making pasta, you know, you make it al dente. When my grandmother used to throw it against the wall to see if it was done, I never did that. But like, you know, if you just keep throwing shit against the wall to see if it's done, you're never gonna get the full effect of it. You have to give it a taste. You have to take in all of it, you know. But anyway, I'm done babbling. I got a cool little throwback for you tonight. And I'll take a quick break. We're going to promote our friends and plug our people. And then we'll come back with our throwback. This is the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, part of the Shining Wizards Network. And, of course, always repping Rant DM Radio, even though we're not in service right now. And whatever Jimmy Ferrari's doing. And you know what? Any other podcast network that wants to pick up the throwbacks, by all means, give me a shout. I'll plug you. As long as you play my shit, you should be fine. And record a little spot for you. Lord Alfred Hayes, please, please, please take us to the break.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag Join the Mark Order, because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast Podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcast, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events, brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time.
Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Hey, this is Greg the Hammer Valentine, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
I give him that.
Ah, puff!
And spit on that thing.
And now, here is your Throwback of the Week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
All right. You know what? The clip I have of the Throwback of the Week, when my hard drive crashed, I lost that clip too. But I found the old one, but I added the ringing of the bell. I have to add that again. So, ding, 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 ding. All right, we'll take it back to June 16th, 1984, from the Mecca of pro wrestling, the world's greatest arena, Madison Square Garden. Gorilla Monsoon, Mean Gene Okerlund are on the stick. This is a fantastic card. I had this picked out about a month ago. One second here. Let me pull up my browser again because I was worried about the gimmicks that I had to. Here we go. Here's my browser. Madison Square Garden, 26,092 people. I don't know if there was that many people there, but the old garden did hold 20K, but I don't know if it was 26. I mean, the crowd was lit, though. I mean, this was the 80s, so the crowd was always lit. Your opening contest, Tony Garea, former World Tag Team Champion a few times, against one of my favorite people of all time, my favorite wrestlers of all time, probably my favorite Intercontinental Champion next to Macho Man, would be the Magnificent One, Don Morocco. He had just lost the IC title to Tito Santana. Took a little break. This was the opening match. So it was a good... Listen, Tony Garea is the veteran. I mean, at this point, they're both veterans, but Garea is like you know, was around for a minute. But yeah, this went... Let's see. It went... Why did I just lose my screen again? This went 4 minutes and 49 seconds, and I'm going to play the ending for you right now. But my computer sucks balls. Here we go. Why is this doing this to me? Because the technology always fails me. Here we go.
Wow, he hit the corner hard. Oh, no one there. Nobody home as Garea attacks again. Slipped right behind him. Drop kick now. Sends the big guy into the ropes.
Oh, what a flip. Mercy.
Garea off the ropes. No, what a beautiful maneuver.
One,
he's going to get
two,
him.
Three. Just when Garea was on a roll, Morocco capitalizing and coming up with victory.
Beautiful power slam as he caught him coming off the ropes there.
Not to the liking of the multitudes on hand this week.
Let's get the official time.
The winner of this bout, the Magnificent Morocco.
Forgot to mention Morocco was escorted by them. The Devious One, Master Fuji, who actually has another wrestler in the next match. But before we go to that, let's see here. Let's see, 1 second. All right, so we get into this match here. Did he make his announcement yet? Yeah. So before we get into the match, which is Jose Luis Rivera taking on George the Animal Steele, who's a heel at this point, managed by Mr. Fuji. He went from Fuji to Albano. We went from Fuji, then he went to Albano, I believe. I think that's how it went. I have to ask Kevin Castle. I think he would know better, or Johnny Drapes can probably correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's how it went. There was a special announcement regarding a very important figure in WWE, WWF at the time, and Hal Finkel was going to announce it. So let's do that first. I skipped it. Hold on. Okay. Here we go. Okay, let's do this. Here we go.
Stay with us, wrestling fans. We'll be right back with more action in just a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to have your attention for just a few moments, please. Recently, the wrestling world, and for that matter, the entire sports world, lost one of, if not the greatest, promoters of all time when Mr. Vincent J. McMahon passed away. Mr. McMahon, many years, has been responsible for giving you fans the best in professional wrestling here in Madison Square Garden, and most recently, this past Thursday, his efforts were rewarded as Mr. McMahon was elected into the Madison Square Garden Hall of Fame.
All right, then they do a little salute to him, moment of silence, and then George Animal Steel fights Jose Luis Rivera. And this match didn't go very long. Hold on. All right, let's take you now to that match, which lasted, where's my gimmick here? It lasted 2 minutes and 24 seconds. Let's take you now to that finish of that match.
Right into it.
You gotta be kidding.
Nothing there but a steel turnbuckle and a steel ring. There's that green lizard-like tongue sticking out of there.
Boy, you talk about hair. He'd love to have that on the top of his head.
George, the Animal Steel, just a vicious individual. Look, he's going to ram him into that exposed turnbuckle.
Not again.
One more time.
Oh! Well, we could hear. Let's see if we can pick up.
Animal!
Mr. Fuji.
Mr. Fuji.
Animal.
Screaming animal.
We're going home already. We had enough talk already. Beat him now, animal. Beat him.
All right, there's the instruction. Now, he's had enough punishment.
Look
Mr.
at this.
Fuji
look out.
Saying,
flying hammerlock coming up to patent it.
That's it. I don't think Rivera can take it. Could any man take it?
No, it's extremely painful, that flying hammerlock.
Excruciating pain and steel refusing to let go. Finally. Look at that. It's got to make you wonder. It's got to make you wonder. Rivera is hurt and hurt badly. Steel not through with them yet. No.
Oh, he jammed him with that foreign object right in the throat one more time.
And not to the liking of the multitudes on hand this week for this World Wrestling Federation event.
Your winner of this bout, the Animal George Steele.
And he's still not done with Jose Luis as once again that foreign object.
All right, your next match is for the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Championship. The Wild Samoans, Afa, rest in peace, Sika, wants their titles back. And they're fighting the champions, Adrian Adonis, Dirty Dick Murdoch, looking oh so good at this point. It's 2 out of 3 falls, which is very rare for this era for a title match, and they mentioned it several times. Both teams exchange falls, and then I'm going to take to the third fall right now. Once I get my gimmick going here, blah 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 blah. Let's see. And okay, here we go. Let's do that. And the match went 19 minutes and 51 seconds. And I'm going to play the ending to you right now. Let's go into that right now.
Headbutt after headbutt.
Oh, upside down. He's hooked. And he's hooked good.
Talk about being tied up.
Look out, another.
Terry.
Samoan drop coming up.
Taking it to town.
Look out, Murdoch off that top turnbuckle.
Now all four men in the ring. And his matches ended up totally out of control. The referee certainly going into this thing knew that he had his work cut out for more.
He's lost it. It's the referee. Hit the referee.
The referee has been hit. He has called for the bell. Oh, headbutt.
Sika hit the referee.
And Arfa,
who was laying it down.
Sika not about to let go of Murdoch. Adonis outside of the ring.
Look at this double team effort on Murdoch as he's dragged out by his partner. Tag team champions on the arena floor. The challengers inside. Referee now giving the official decision to our ring announcer. Let's go up and get it.
The third fall, ladies and gentlemen, referee has disqualified both teams. He rules this match a double disqualification.
All right, double DQ. The champions do retain. But throughout the match, Albano left ringside before the Samoans even came out. After the first fall, Albano came out and congratulated Murdoch and Adonis. After the second fall, he comes out and he congratulates the Samoans. So now in the back, Lord Alfred Hayes wants to know why he did that. Let's go take you down to his lordship, awful Alfred Hayes.
It's Captain Lou Albano. I have a couple of questions for him. Captain, you ran out there and congratulated the first team that won a fall. You ran out there and congratulated the next team that won a fall. Where exactly are your loyalties?
My loyalties, my good man, lie nowhere. I am loyal to no one. I'm loyal to the green. The American dollar, baby, USA. That $1, that $10, $50, $100 bill, that's my loyalty. I have no loyalty to man.
Well, that's all very well to say about the green, but how exactly do you stand? Those teams were out there. They battered each other to death.
Well, they battered each other to death because they're fine, four fine, great athletes. So whatever happened, happened. But let me tell you once again, I will make my statement. I have loyalty to no man. I respect Adrian Adonis. I respect...
What do you respect?
His partner. I respect the Samoans, but I am loyal to no man. I have loyalty to no man. Dick Murdoch, great. Adrian Adonis, great. The Samoans, also pretty good.
And now back to Gorilla Monsoon and Gene Okerlund.
All right, so the next couple of matches I don't have times for. But the site that I use only didn't document them. So your next match, singles match, for SD, Special Delivery Jones, Philadelphia's own, against the man, the myth, the legend, Jesse the Body Ventura. We'll take it to the end of that match right now. Jesse with the pink hair and the tie-dye tights, looking oh so good. But see if SD Jones was any match for him.
I'll tell you that body vice. That had to be it, that inverted body vice, Gorilla Monsoon.
1 second.
Confidence. Just to have the audacity to wear Paisley tights is enough, I believe.
Better be a tough guy.
Into the ropes.
SD now in for the ride.
Into the body vice. Of the bear hug. Jones Connery with a series of lefts to the side of the head of Ventura. And Ventura, let's go, headbutt that rocks. That 271-pound frame. And he is very unstable at this point. Oh, another big laugh to the sternum this time. Jones on a roll. Headbutt. Oh. Ventura has got a headache. And an aspirin isn't going to clear that up, I guarantee you. Did you hear that?
He said, check his head.
Check his head.
Another tremendous bear hug applied by the body, but SD with those big left hands right to the jaw. Oh, gonna get out once more. Headbutt.
And his capacity crowd comes to life into the ropes.
Oh, no, he dropped an elbow right on his back, right in the cervical area of the vertebrae, and really stunned the big guy.
And at that backfired, inverted body vice.
That's he's got it. Is.
He's, that is a submission hold if there ever was one.
Hand goes up.
I don't know if he can take any more. Oh, that's all she wrote.
So Jesse wins with the vice against SD Special Delivery Jones. Your next match is for the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship. Tito Santana defending against his arch nemesis, Greg the Hammer Valentine. This match has some future implications. But before even that, there's an announcement regarding somebody. You know, let's just take it Howard Finkel.
This upcoming bout, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce to you, sitting in the arena this evening, I would like to ask her to rise, Tito Santana's mother, Mrs. Santana.
So Tito's mom is in the building. He just made an announcement for that. So we'll take it to the end of this match. And a very angry Santana after the match as a promo. Let's take you down to that. Let's see. There you go. There we go. Let's see here. Okay, let's do this. Here we go.
Santana down on the concrete arena floor.
Up over the top rope.
Backdrop right out of there.
No.
And Valentine right down on him. Right in front of us here. Trying to stop it out.
No, no.
Atomic drop, yes. Atomic drop right on the arena floor. Santana's been counted outside the ring.
Oh, no. No. Santana's still in pain.
He got atomic dropped right outside the ring and crashed to this concrete arena floor.
So, Valentine wins by a count out. But the thing is, there's the couple of matches that these guys have had, classics, by the way, some of it was inconclusive, and it was either interference or count outs, disqualifications. Santana is now angry. He's basically, he's catching his breath. He can't even stand up, but Lord Alfredo wants to talk to him anyway. So let's take it to the back.
Tito, we know you did your best. You didn't lose that much in our eyes. In fact, you were a winner in our eyes. We'll be back with another interview after this commercial break. We're back at Madison Square Gardens. Standing beside me is Gorilla Monsoon, who saw that Tito Santana-Greg Valentine match. And Gorilla, I thought that several times the momentum had swung in the favor of Tito Santana, and yet somehow or other, he just couldn't reach down deep enough to pull the thing out of the bag. What do you think?
Well, I think that, number one, you have to give an awful lot of credit to Greg the Hammer Valentine, who possesses all the necessary skills, all the necessary strength, ability, and knowledge about professional wrestling to, at any given night, beat any individual, whether he be a champion or just a challenger. And I think that Tito certainly is a tremendous champion, and we can all be very proud of him. But when he steps in the ring with the likes of a Craig the Hammer Valentine, he's got his work cut out for him. And believe me, there were times when I thought during that match that Greg was going to walk out of that ring with the gold. At one point, he slapped that half of that spinning toe hold on and was about to apply that patented figure four leg lock and once and for all end this feud between Tito and Greg. But Tito just had a little bit too much for him right at that particular point in time in the match and managed to escape. But Tito certainly took, I think that, I don't know, if I were the referee in that match, I might have disqualified Greg the Hammer for using an atomic drop out there on the arena floor. That could easily have constituted a disqualification.
That was the thing I was looking at, Gorilla, because he deliberately tossed him over the rope, And then he saw that Tito was going to get back into the ring and give him a lot more trouble. So I think right at that moment, he decided to sally forth outside the ring, pick him up in that atomic drop, and drop him there so there would be no more trouble from Tito Santana, who was certainly, in my opinion, giving Greg Valentine a little more at that time than he could handle.
Obviously, Lord, you saw it right, you perceived it right, and it was a great, great matchup. And I'm sure that we have not seen the last of the feud between Craig the Hammer Valentine and Tito Santana. You're watching the World Wrestling Federation on Madison Square Garden Cablevision.
And Gorilla Monsoon is 100% right, because he sets up a series of amazing rematches, cage matches. Oh, so good. So good. I skipped through Santana because he could barely talk. He couldn't get, and he was just wasn't making sense. So I just skipped right to that. Your next match, went about 6-7 minutes. Dr. D. David Schultz. It was in a feud against Andre the Giant. And this is pretty funny. The match is pretty fun. David Schultz is we spoke in length about Dr. D. You know, in our other episodes of the throwbacks, but. Andre could do no wrong, still undefeated at this point, and he gives Dr. D a run for his money. So let's take it to the end of that match. Give me one second here, and here we go.
Well, he's straightening out the vertebrae now for Dr. D.
A chiropractic move. Now there's the surfboard, or double arm bar, executed by Andre the Giant. Schultz to the ropes. Referee going to call for the break. He's got to break it. Well, he did. He did exactly what
Absolutely.
The referee told him to do.
Fans love it.
However, Dr. David Schultz, not necessarily in agreement with that particular break.
No, that top ring rope, Gene, is 5 feet or better, and he just dropped straight backwards.
I don't know if I'm in agreement with the game plan of Dr. David Schultz thus far. Why would he charge a man the size of Andre the Giant? Forearm.
That rocks him,
the native of Grenoble, France.
Well, I'm sure, Gene, that Dr. D knows that the only way to get the big guy in trouble is to get him off his feet, down on that ring canvas.
But I don't think that's the way to do it, Gorilla Monsoon.
Absolutely not.
You gotta get low on that man to topple him. You're not gonna do it from the midsection, that's for certain.
Absolutely not.
Headbutt to
Andre,
the shoulder.
Andre had his fist up to Dr. D's face, and it covered the entire front of Dr. D's face. Referee calling for the break here.
Well, we're just waiting. Schultz very reluctant. The Giant looking for a back body drop out of Schultz after he whipped him into the turnbuckle. Schultz coming back with a toe. Oh! Andre counters over the top that rocks Schultz to the canvas.
Andre's hot now. He's all done playing.
Whip into.
Oh, the big boot right in the kisser.
Timber!
Look out! Goodbye!
Andre wins with the big boot and a big splash. Your next match was a very young Steve Lombardi. You know him better as the Brooklyn Brawler. This is, one of his first... Lombardi was in a company for 40 years, so this had to be like his first year in. Fighting the legend, Mad Dog Vachon. Take it to the ending of that match. This didn't last very long. The squash match, basically.
He's outside, going up on the top turnbuckle.
Oh! Oh, the throat of Lombardi.
Completely unnecessary. This match was already over.
Vachon. Totally out of line, in my opinion.
The winner of this bout, Mad Dog Vachon.
He beat the snot out of the Brooklyn Brawler with a double stomp to the throat. Your next match, a very young Salvatore Bellomo taking on the man, the myth, the legend, my favorite wrestler before I discovered NWA, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. But Gene Oakland has another, not Gene Oakland, Lord Alfred, there was no backstage promo with Lord Alfred, I meant to say. But Howard Finkel has a special announcement on this one, too.
Salvatore Bellomo leaping over the top rope, and he is ready for action.
Ladies and gentlemen, before I introduce the participants in this bout, I would like to acknowledge in attendance this evening two individuals that are very, very close to this man to my right. They have come all the way from Sicily to witness their brother in action. I would like them to rise, Carlo and Filippo Bellomo.
Like, I get, is it family night? I didn't get the memo. But Paul Orndorff is fighting a very young and spry Salvatore Bellomo. But Mr. Bellomo doesn't fare well against Paul Orndorff. It gives him a couple of minutes, but we all know the result here. Let's go take it to the end of that real quick.
Telegraphed it to the fans.
He jerked him up. Look in there. He's got him. Goodbye. It's all over, Gene.
Bellomo.
You can count to 100. It's over.
Bellomo is hurt.
Neck snapped in there.
Orndorff wins the pile driver, of course. It must be Legends Night, too, because you had Tony Garea, Mad Dog Vachon, and now you have Chief J Strongbow taking on the ace, Cowboy Bob Orton Jr. Let's take you down to that end of that match.
Back in time here a few moments and take a look and see if we can see that clenched fist coming down as Orton takes advantage of every inch of that ring and uses that second rope for a springboard. Watch that, okay, right hand now,
here,
Gene.
Here you can see it.
There it is. Right hand and wrist come right down in the throat area.
Yeah, so Bob Orton wins the match, but he does it like with a second rope, like a Vader bomb almost, right? Like Gorilla said, like a springboard. But he takes his fist and he rams it into Chief J Strongbow's throat. All right, so that's going to set up your main event, which is a boot camp match. Iron Sheik taking on the great Sergeant Slaughter. But this match is so good. They had a series of them, and for some reason, Slaughter like has these classic brawls in Madison Square Garden, whether it was with the Sheik, whether it was Bobby Backlund, or more importantly, the street fight he had with the one Pat Patterson, the late great Pat Patterson. So we're going to take you now to, let's see. Yeah, this is going to be a little long because Sarge comes out with the color guard and all this other shit. So let's take you to the end of this match, shall we? Sheik is a bloody mess, by the way. They took off their boots. They used the boots on each other. It was a great, this is a fantastic match.
Sheik is hemorrhaging. I can't believe.
Blood everywhere. Slaughter now just making it to his feet. Oh, big right hand. And another. And the crowd is reeling with every blow. The big windup. Capacity crowd on hand, loving every minute of it. Gonna go for the cover.
The referee is in there. One, two.
No. Referee Dick Grohl says a two count.
God, look at the Sheik. He is really, really hemorrhaging.
Both men, I'm sure, have a certain amount of each other's blood all over them. It's really hard to tell, but we know they're both busted wide open. He's going for the cover again. Stamina, what guts! Sarge now sends him in for the ride. Look out!
He was just setting him up for the slaughter cannon. But the Sheik quoted that with a move to the midsection of Sergeant Slaughter.
Both men losing a lot of blood.
Somebody's
Sheik over for the cover. One, two, oh, two and a half.
Just an eyelash away, a blink away from a victory. The rules have been established. Only a pinfall will secure victory for one of these two men.
Souffle coming up.
Actually, Salto.
Oh.
Takedown. After the loss of blood on the part of the Iron Sheik, how could he muster up that kind of energy to execute?
An unbelievable condition, athlete Gene. Both of these men displaying unbelievable guts and stamina and conditioning. Close again, as another two and a half.
Where does the Sarge get it from?
The Sarge has got that intestinal fortitude, the guts, and the pride to be an American. That's where he got it from.
Again, the chant of USA. High in the air, suplex. And that's going to take the wind out of the sails of Sergeant Slaughter if they had not been deflated by this time.
She called the referee, and he knows he's got him in trouble. Going for another cover.
One, two.
No. Sheik now unlacing his boot, Gene.
You've got to be kidding me.
Everything goes in this match.
Oh, this is.
He's got it loaded up.
He does indeed.
Look out, Sarge. He ducked it. He got it with the cannon. Oh. He got it with the cannon.
Slaughter cannon. Slaughter cannon. Sergeant Slaughter.
Slaughter now going for that.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I cannot believe it.
Both men going for it.
There's the boot, and there is the hand.
The Sarge's got it.
He's got it. He has got the Iron Sheik's boot in his capacity. Crowd. They're blowing away. They are blowing away.
It up. Look out.
Oh.
Down for the cover. He's going to get him.
Two.
He got him.
Oh, my word.
You hear the crowd. I mean, you have to understand too. You're like only 2-3 years removed, or maybe 3 years removed from the Iran hostage situation. So that the city, I mean, the country is still like anti everything from that part of the world, unfortunately. But the crowd was so hot. Everybody was on their feet. 20,000 people screaming their faces off. There was blood everywhere. These guys using their boots. The loaded boots for the Sheik, the loaded boot of Slaughter. There was garbage, people throwing garbage to the Sheik. There was like cans and cups and shit in the ring. It was blood everywhere. Sheik was so busted open. He so much color in this match. This match, it is this whole card is on the network, the Cock, from June 16, 1984. And it's also on YouTube, I think, too. Or this match. Really good card. Go watch it. It's a solid card. I hope you guys enjoyed that as much as I did doing it. So I'm going to get out of here. I gotta do some things and finish this weekend out. So enjoy the pay-per-view this weekend and enjoy your holiday. And be sure to join us this weekend for the 500th episode. Okay, it's gonna be a hoot, as they say. It's gonna be a hoot, and I just hope you guys can join us. It's gonna be so much fun. We always have fun on the anniversary shows. You know, it's gonna be awesome. Sincerely, it's gonna be awesome. So, June 6th, 8 p.m. Please join us. We love you. All right, let's get out of here. You guys don't know the social media handles, Pro Wrestling Tees, email, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Support the Jumping Bomb Angels. Go to their gimmicks. Buy one of their shirts. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, RantDMRadio.com, TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com. And here we go. This is it. Home stretch, episode 500 next week. Take care, guys. Don't be a jerk off. Be nice. Be good. Be kind to animals and children. All right? And remember to hawk to and spit on that thing. Remember to do that. Good night, Gracie.
I give him that.
Ah, tough.
And spit on that thing. You get me?